This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company. For more information and links to all our great podcasts, visit hartmanmedia.com.
Speakers, publishers, consultants, coaches, and info marketers unite. The Speaking of Wealth show is your roadmap to success and significance. Learn the latest tools, technologies, and tactics to get more bookings, sell more products, and attract more clients. If you're looking to increase your direct response sales, create a big-time personal brand, and become the go-to guru, the Speaking of Wealth show is for you. Here's your host, Jason Hartman.
Hey, I've got a real treat for you listeners today. All of you thought leaders who want to turn your ideas into a book, we are going to talk about ghostwriting. And this is a problematic area, but it could be a great opportunity. And our guest today is an expert in that field. That is Michael Levin. He is CEO of Business Ghost. He's a 12-time national best-selling author and a 2-time New York Times best-selling author. And we're going to dive in and learn about how you should hire a ghostwriter, why you might want to hire one, how you should do it, and how the whole process works. This is an area that is, for obvious reasons, kind of kept under wraps. I'm looking forward to diving into this today. Michael, welcome. How are you?
I'm great, Jason. Thank you for having me on the program.
It's good to have you on. Give our listeners a sense of geography. Where are you located?
I'm speaking to you from Newton, Massachusetts.
Fantastic. Ghostwriting. You know, a lot of thought leaders out there have tried to hire ghostwriters. They've tried doing their own books. It's a problematic area, and I'll tell you why. It's because most people don't know who the ghostwriters are, right? The work is, for obvious reasons, kept confidential as to who the ghost is. How does someone go about this? What is the best practice in working with a ghostwriter?
Jason, you're asking an extremely important question because most people tend to just shop on price and they figure, hey, look, this person has a website and they write business cards, they do social media. Oh, they also do books. That's great. How much is a book? $4,000? Fantastic. I'll take it. And they didn't stop to think, has this person ever written a book before? Are they going to be learning how to write a book on my dime?
Yeah.
Is there a reason that they're pricing themselves so far below the market? Do they have any past clients I can speak with? Because often ghostwriting clients are actually very happy to talk about you. Some don't want anybody to know, but other people are very happy with your work and happy with you and don't mind at all the fact that you helped facilitate the dissemination of their ideas. So that's the starting point. What kind of credentials are you looking at? If you just simply Google ghostwriter or business ghostwriter, you'll pull up tons. The question is, what are their credentials? What is their track record? And who else have they worked for? Anytime you're trying to hire anybody, the question is, where have you solved this problem elsewhere? Mm-hmm. The problem of creating thought leadership for someone in the form of a book in this case. And if you cannot get a clear answer from the website, move on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, how do you go around and find them? I mean, with the clients that you have, don't you have to sign confidentiality agreements? I would assume most of them want that. I mean, that's what I'm always told when it comes to
ghostwriting. Yeah, there's a confidentiality clause in every single contract we sign. We've done over 300 books start to finish ourselves here at Business Ghost. We work with 700 authors, either as editor, publisher, or planning the book or in some form. That means we've signed 700 confidentiality agreements. And we are Switzerland. We've never had an issue in 22 years of business with a breach of confidentiality. People find us through word of mouth. I do a newsletter. People forward the newsletter around. They like that. I was on Shark Tank, and my episode is just the gift that keeps on giving. It re-airs about every 8 to 10 weeks, and then when it does, the phone rings a bunch of times. I did not get a deal, but the exposure was incredible. So those are the primary ways. You know, I've tried all kinds of marketing things, and I'm a really terrific ghost, but I'm not that much of a marketer, as it turns out. It's one of these things that, you know, the cobbler's children have no shoes. Mm-hmm. So I'm great at doing it for other people. But the thing is that we're kind of boutique-y. I don't mind being under the radar. I don't mind the fact that we're sort of a well-kept secret because enough people do find us. We're going to do about 85 books this year. Mm-hmm. If we did much more than that, we would probably not be able to keep up the same level of quality and the personal attention and service. So That's why we did not get a deal.
How many writers do you have?
We have 30.
Is it one writer per book, or do you have those writers collaborate where there might be two or three writers for a given book?
It's almost always one writer for a book.
Uh-huh.
There are a couple of cases where we've gotten so much material that we've actually, from a client, so much written material that we've actually had to put together a small team, typically two writers, just to go through it all and digest it all, almost like a law firm preparing for litigation. I'm a lawyer by training, so I guess those are the metaphors that come to mind. But typically, I plan the book with the client. Michael Gerber, who created the E-Myths and who is a client, a friend.
I've had him on the show, yeah.
Yeah, he's just a lovely man. He says, I've created more successful books than anyone in human history. And I'm definitely up there. So that's my end of it. And then we find the right person on the team in terms of the subject matter, in terms of sometimes the geography, so that we can do the interviews face-to-face in a lot of places. And then what's the fit between the writer and the client? And that is the thing that we try so hard to concentrate on and get absolutely right.
Yeah.
So it really comes down to background, interests, personality match. I mean, there are a lot of great individual ghostwriters out there. The challenge with hiring one is that if you aren't happy with their work, basically the money's gone, because what are you going to do? You can't sue them. They spent it. They spent it on mortgage and food and rent and kids' shoes. And the good thing about going with a group, and this is going to sound self-serving, but the good thing with going with a group like us is that if you don't have a great experience with your initial writer, we'll move you over. And then there have been cases where I stepped in and did the interviewing because there is just no way else to get the book done the right way. So no client left behind, no situation where we are unable to complete the book because there was not a chemistry match initially. And almost always there is.
Are you the author of the E-Myth books?
They came out when I was in high school.
Uh-huh.
No, I've done things for Michael since,
uh-huh. Okay.
Smaller projects.
Yeah. Since. Where are your writers located?
Great question. They're all over the country. They're mostly in Southern California because the business was there for many, many years. But we are in many cities, St. Louis, New York, Boston, Chicago. You know, a lot of them, I don't even know where they are.
Uh-huh.
Because so much of work done today, obviously, is virtual. You just need a laptop and a phone and
sure,
you're good.
Sure. Do you have any writers outside of the U.S.?
On occasion, they'll travel. I don't have anybody based outside the United States. We have clients all over the world. We have clients in South Africa and Singapore and Europe and Hong Kong. But we don't have writers. But today, I'll get a note from a writer, or I'll hear from my managing editor, so-and-so is in Vietnam for 6 weeks, but she says it's fine. There's plenty of connectivity. So you go, okay, you know, as long as they get their work done, it really
doesn't matter. But they're all American, U.S.-based writers, is what you're saying.
Yes, they are. I mean, we're an American shop, and we occasionally, as I said, we do work with clients from around the world, but by and large, the clientele is American, and the mode of expression that they desire is U.S. English, if you will, and it's about speaking to an American audience.
Mm-hmm. How come you didn't decide to practice law? I mean, you went to, Amherst and then Columbia Law School, right?
Yeah, I went to Columbia Law School, and I worked in law for about an hour and a half.
I love it.
It was actually more like a year and a half. But
based on billable hours, that's like 24 billable hours, right?
You figured it out. You know, I didn't want to be the kind of person that I would have had to become if I'd stayed in law. And I no disrespect intended to my lawyer listeners right now, but they know what I'm talking about. I'm fundamentally unemployable. That's the other thing. I think I'm an entrepreneur by nature, as are many of your listeners. And there's just something about working for other people that just doesn't work for you if you are entrepreneurial.
Lawyers can be solopreneurs too, but you know, I was just kind of curious about the law thing, you know. Interesting.
Yeah.
Take us through the process, if you would, and tell us how it works, just briefly, because I got a bunch of other questions I want to review with you. But what do? The client finds you, they hire you, they sign a contract, you know, after telling you about the project probably, and then you do some interviews. Just take us through that real quickly, if you would.
Sure. The typical way that ghostwriting is done, which is really fruitless, is to spend 40 to 60 or 80 hours of interviews, wide-ranging interviews with the client, and then come back 8 months later with a manuscript. But by that point, neither the writer nor the client remembers what anybody was talking about 8 months earlier. So we try to be much more strategic. The first call is with me. And in that call, we work through three critical issues. Number one, who is the specific audience for the book? Because everything today is niche. You're writing to a specific niche. Who is it? Who do you want to talk to in the marketplace? Maybe it's a different group than you've talked to in the past. maybe you're trying to rebrand yourself. What next steps do you want them to take as a result of either reading the book, seeing you on TV talking about the book, or otherwise coming into contact with the book or hearing about it? What do you want them to do? And then the third thing is, what body of knowledge in your head would convince people in that niche audience to take those next steps with you? We work through those questions in about 45 minutes to an hour, and in that time, I come up with a basic plan for the book, a table of contents. And I've done this more than 300 times, probably more than any human being. So that's something that we offer that you cannot find anywhere else. You can't get me anywhere else. And my wife will tell you there are a lot of things I don't do very well, but this is one thing I do pretty well. Then after that, we only want an hour a week per chapter. So if we're talking about a 12-chapter book, give us an hour a week for 12 weeks or 2 hours a week for 6 weeks. Ask you to do a file dump of everything you've ever known, thought, believed, heard, witnessed, case stories, war stories, just related to that chapter. We don't want to do broad-ranging interviews about whatever. It's going to waste everybody's time. We want to be strategic in our use of our clients' time. And then we deliver the chapter within 2 weeks of that call so that the client is able to tell us immediately, I love this, I hate that, do more of this, do less of that. So that by the time they're getting the second or third chapter, just a few weeks into the process or a month into the process, it reads like a second or third draft. Wash, rinse, repeat, finalize the manuscript, and then we publish. We can put it in bookstores. We can put it in airport bookstores. We do all of the design, copyright, Library of Congress cataloging, ISBN number, barcode, everything, and it's all for a fixed fee, one project fee, so that there is absolutely no confusion. There are no upsells, no surprises. I mean, if a book goes from 150 pages to 250 pages, we have to talk. But generally, that doesn't happen. And those are the basics of how we do it.
Good stuff. So you mentioned the cost is fixed and there's no upsells. What is the cost?
I'm not going to quote a specific number. I will say to your listeners that if somebody is offering to do an entire book for less than $15,000, you really have to ask, has this person ever done a book before? Our fees can start in the 20s depending on the project, and they can go considerably higher depending on the nature of the project into the 60s or the 80s or even higher depending on what needs to be done. So it's really a question of degree of difficulty, of length, of how many people have to be interviewed, how much research is involved, whether there are any wrinkles in the publishing process. It's a broad range, but I just want to tell your listeners that if they pay peanuts, they'll get monkeys, and we all know how that ends up.
Can you tell us, any of the books that your company has written?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
As a co-writer, I've worked with Dave Winfield, the late Pat Summerall. I edited Zig Ziglar's final book. I did a book with Howard Bragman, who is the top publicist in Hollywood. Did a book called Rock Your Business with David Fishoff, which was a number one Kindle business bestseller. David runs the Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp that he started.
Yeah, I had him on the show.
Yeah, he's a brilliant, brilliant guy. I've worked with Doug Christie of the NBA, Chad Hennings, Maurice Jones-Drew, Ben Watson of the NFL. I've worked with tons and tons of business people in all fields. Jay Abraham, Michael Gerber, our friends and clients and friends of the business. And then if people go on my website, we have a page, 9 of our clients, different backgrounds, different business models, different race, religion, creed, gender, sex, that's the same thing, but just a broad range of people. We've got the first chapters of 9 different books up there. The reason is that we want you to see that we can write in whatever voice is called for. If the book sounds like the ghostwriter, it's a failure. If the book sounds like the client, then we did our job right.
Why is it that you can give those names and then there's confidentiality issues? I kind of don't understand that. I mean,
oh, sure.
Yeah.
There's a distinction between co-writing and ghostwriting. Co-writing means it's by the famous person, Jason, and the writer guy, Michael. So it would say on the cover by Jason and Michael.
Sure.
Ghostwriting situation, it would just say by Jason or by, you know, John Doe or what, Jane Doe. Most of the books that I named are co-written, which means that it was by me and that person, or the person agreed to waive the confidentiality requirement. And when you go on the website on businessghost.com and you go to that page and you see the 9 books, a few of them are private clients who graciously agreed to allow me to use the first couple of chapters of their books as a marketing tool. Mm-hmm. They liked me. They liked what we did for them. They didn't mind the loss of confidentiality. In fact, they saw it as a positive. They just saw it as one more way to get their message out there and to get their book in the first few chapters in front of prospective clients.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, interesting. You said you didn't want to mention a number, but it looks like it's at least $15,000 from what you said, right?
The shortest books we do, which typically run 50 to 65 pages, are in the high teens. Uh-huh. And then books that are longer or more complicated go up from there.
Okay, all right. And well, like, what's the highest price book, for example? Can you, you know, to give us a range? You know, if you wrote a book for someone super famous and they wanted, you know, I guess a premium project in some way, you know, or it's the size of War and Peace, how much is, what's the highest you've ever charged?
Well, we've gone into six figures on a few occasions.
Oh, wow.
The project merited it, low six figures.
Wow, okay.
That's not typical. And the thing is that just in terms of the time that it takes us to get it done, it's just where a book is really, really long or really, really complicated. We did a memoir, a 400-page memoir for a television personality, and the first draft was over 400 pages, and it was a lot of work, and I think we charged around $175,000 for that. Mm-hmm. But that's a real outlier. I don't want to scare your listeners into running away from Business Ghost and finding the guy who will do the book for $4,000 and paint their house.
Right, right. Well, you know, that's the next question I wanted to ask you, Michael. What tips can you share with our listeners on hiring and vetting writers? And, you know, not necessarily for a book project, but maybe, you know, maybe someone listening can't afford you and they want to get their first thing out there, or they want to do a little ebook, or hire a blogger, you know, or someone to write little articles that are 700 words. What tips? I mean, you've hired a lot of writers. That's your business. And
yeah.
I find hiring writers rather difficult because this is not a, you know, it's not an exact science by any means. It's an art. How do you do it?
Hiring a writer is really hard.
Yeah,
it's like,
I agree.
That's why people come to Business Ghost, because they don't want to hire a writer. They want to hire a company that employs writers and gets projects done for them in a business-like fashion.
Sure. So I'm just asking you to share some of your HR tips, some of your best hiring practices. Because
sure. It really comes down to, where have you done this before? That is the single most important question. And if you look at a person's website, is books, as I said earlier, is books just one thing on the list? And we do social media for folks too. So if they need articles done, we don't compete on price, but we're not crazy in terms of what we charge. You want to look at, what is the person's track record? If all they do is books, or 98% of what we do is books, if you can find a writer who has clearly on his website a list of credentials of past projects, if you've done enough books, you're going to have a certain number of clients who are going to be willing to give you blurbs for your website and waive the confidentiality requirement. And if that isn't on the person's website, that's a prima facie case, as we say in the law, that you've got a writer who just doesn't have the credentials. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I mean, just look at their, just ask them for their CV. How many books have they written? How have the books done? Can you talk to past clients? Many of our prospects want to talk to past clients, and we have a roster. We try not to go to them too often. We have a lot of people who are willing to talk about Business Ghost and say, man, they did a great job for us. You're going to love Michael. You're going to love the team. Whenever you have a problem, you can get them on the phone. They're not hiding under the desk. It really comes down to how accessible and successful has the writer been prior to meeting you. For us, the hardest thing in the world is working with a client who has been burned by one or more previous writers, because they're like Mark Twain's cat. Cat that burns itself on a stove is not going to sit on a stove whether it's hot or cold. And those individuals who have had bad experiences with ghostwriters, primarily because they tried to save a dollar and do it the cheap way, don't trust us. And either we cannot sell to them, or they let their lack of trust take the project down and kill it. So all I can say is, I understand that it's a big outlay of money, but you have to ask yourself, what is thought leadership really worth to me? What is one or two or three new clients worth to me? And once you start doing the math, obviously, I love books. I believe in the power of books. I've seen the magic that books create for our clients. So I have a hard time believing you can get a bigger bang for your buck anywhere else. I'm not saying spend $120,000 for it. We're not going to, you know, propose anything like that in 99% of cases. In a few cases, it was warranted, and so we did. But the bulk of the time, we're pretty much where our clients, or I should say our prospects, expect us to be. We don't have a lot of price resistance because we price fairly. Just make sure you've got somebody who's experienced. Don't let somebody go to school on you in terms of how to write a book.
Good stuff. Do you help the clients with marketing of their book, or deciding whether they should be a self-publisher or get a publisher, you know, and that kind of stuff?
Absolutely. Most people cannot get deals with New York because New York is not interested in the quality of your content. I'm talking about the major New York publishing companies. They're interested in how many people are following you on Twitter, how many keynotes do you make a year, how many times do you appear on the Today Show. If you don't have all of that already, you're not going to be a likely candidate for a publishing deal with New York. So we spend a lot of time educating our clients about that. In terms of marketing the books, as I said, the publisher we work with has a sales force that sells to bookstores, that sells to airport bookstores. We can get books put up on the NASDAQ billboard in time to cover in the NASDAQ billboard in Times Square and get a photo of that and get a news release on the NASDAQ wire. We've got our own best practices that we share with our clients about marketing their books for little or no money. The publisher sits them down for a 90-minute mastermind call on marketing their book. And we also spend a lot of time working with people getting blurbs, the little squibs that get on the back of the book explaining why you should read it. So we know who the really great book marketers are for independently published books, and we typically connect our clients with three or four of them whenever it's appropriate if they want to do a real marketing push with their book. It's really, however, how wherever they want to go, we'll get there with them.
Yeah, very interesting. Give out your website, if you would.
It is Business Ghost. Business and then ghost like Casper the Friendly Ghost. BusinessGhost.com.
Fantastic. Any quick final tip in closing to wrap it up?
If you're thinking about doing a book, just do it. It will be the best money you ever spent, and it's going to come to you 10 times over. That's what's happened for client after client after client, and that's why we've been so successful, and that's why our clients are so successful. So I'd leave it at that.
Good stuff. Michael, thanks for joining us.
Jason, it's truly my pleasure. This was great. Thank you so much.
This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company, all rights reserved. For distribution or publication rights and media interviews, please visit www.hartmanmedia.com or email media@hartmanmedia.com. Nothing on this show should be considered specific personal or professional advice. Please consult an appropriate tax, legal, real estate, or business professional for individualized advice. Opinions of guests are their own, and the host is acting on behalf of Platinum Properties Investor Network, Inc., exclusively.